The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
Oh my God, wasn't it a pure massacre?
Very, very, very appropriate song for the destruction of Queensland.
Of the entire series. Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is Origin Podcast, game two of the, I think it is still called Ampol State of Origin. Yeah, let's go with that, it is.
We'll give him a little shout out, even though I cannot remember the last time I seen an Ampol service station around. But apparently they're taking over Caltex service station.
They're coming back, they started changing, so they're on their way back. They're on their way back.
They are back, baby.
They are back, and look, I guess so. In New South Wales, like, it was 26-0 for all the. Look, there's plenty to talk about before the game. We'll get into it in a sec. But the first thing I wanted to say was just for all the, well, I don't know who was whinging because it didn't bother me, but for all the people going on about two Queensland games, it really didn't make a difference. Two Queensland home games.
It honestly wouldn't have made a difference. Really?
Nah, it wouldn't have made a difference. With the 1-13 side, 1-17 side we had, you had no answers. But we'll scale back to just before the game. Look, Moraine's the days leading up to everything. So, look, the first thing then the squad was named. Young debutant Reece Walsh was named in number one because Callum Ponga was out. He succumbed to
AJ Brimson was out.
Well, AJ Brimson was out too. Sorry, that's another one. My apologies. What did AJ Brimson have? What injury did he have?
He's still reeling out of that bone bruise on his knee.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I think it was the week before they were going to select the Origin sides, and they were getting dismantled. Look, I'll have to double check what game it was. It wasn't the game against the Roosters. It was the week before, so it would have been
possibly the Melbourne Storm, I think. Wasn't it the Melbourne Storm game?
He had a bone bruise, and basically the game was gone, the game was lost, so they yanked him.
Yeah.
And I still think everybody thought that he had hopes of being able to be selected. Obviously, Caelan Ponga was still dealing with the groin injury that's kept him out for a little while now, but. He just couldn't shake this bone bruising in his knee. They basically had to go to the young kid from the Warriors in Reece Walsh, which Gus Gould was none too happy about. But I think that's a lot of self-interest involved in that and not a whole lot of anything else, because if Reece Walsh was either playing for another team or if Gus Gould wasn't affiliated with the New Zealand Warriors, he wouldn't give a crap about this, but because he is involved with the Warriors, he seemed to have this ridiculous notion that throwing this kid to the Wolves was going to dent his confidence and dent his first grade career. It's like, give me a freaking break. Like, calling it disgracefully weak, like, you piss off, Gus. Like, come on. Like, what in the hell was Queensland supposed to do?
You were very, very limited in stock. And look, I mean, I've loved the way he played this year. Look, it is. Look, what he said is what he said, but it's exactly what you said. They didn't have another option, so to speak, really. I mean, they did have other options,
and
we'll talk about
that in
a sec.
They just run the same back line out, which was essentially what happened.
That's right. Unfortunately, but he succumbed to a minor hamstring injury. I think it was during training.
It was in the captain's run.
Yeah.
On the Saturday.
So in stepped one Ronaldo Mutolito, who was named 18th man from the Cronulla Sharks. which I guess triggered someone in the New South Wales Rugby League Board because
Are they scared of Ronaldo Mulitalo? Are they that scared that was going to be Queensland's X factor and was just going to tear New South Wales to shreds? Like it's all just a gigantic debacle. But I don't understand why you would fish around and look for these sorts of things.
Well, but
it's a massive oversight, right? It's a huge oversight because of what has happened with the ridiculous eligibility rules, and we've talked about it at length.
So that's what's actually happened. So New South Wales have cracked up a stink and saying, look, I don't think he is eligible. The NRL unit, I guess, if you want to call them, decided to look into it more and, I guess, determine he was not eligible to play for Queensland,
yet he's played for Queensland in the under-18s and in the under-20s. So how did they let him go through that? Why didn't New South Wales Rugby League look at that then?
He should have played. I don't get why it would have bothered New South Wales. One Ronaldo.
I think it's just being a stickler for the rules, and I understand why, because if you start farting around with that sort of process, it opens a gigantic can of worms, and it's almost a free for all anyway with Origin selection and eligibility. So it ended up being that he had to have been in Australia before his 13th birthday, and it's basically 12 months late. So he was still 13, but he'd already turned 13. So he come into Australia before his 14th birthday. So that was basically the strike that rules him ineligible because he was born in New Zealand.
Yeah, it was 13. He was 13 years and 10 months when he moved to Queensland. Apparently, there's this eagle-eyed fan on Twitter that flagged it out of nowhere and created a snowball.
For God's sakes. Really?
Yeah. Didn't need to formally complain, but you look, you nailed it on the head. The ridiculous rule was he moved to Queensland after his 13th birthday. You have to be in your state or staying in your state before 13 or move to there before 13.
That's the key thing there. It's before the 13th birthday.
There are other caveats too. I mean, I think you've got a little bit there and we can go over a little bit. Like, there's caveats of...
When you see the little stupid diagram that when it comes to Origin eligibility, it's just pure as it comes down to. Like, there's no real point in sort of going through everything. But the thing that is most important is it says up the top, it is important to note if you have played Origin at under-18s, under-20s, or senior Origin, your state of eligibility is confirmed.
Correct.
These rules have been put in place since December 2012.
Yep.
It's just pure ridiculousness that this has been taken away from him, and now he is basically not eligible at all now to play for Queensland. Like, it's not even he wasn't ineligible to play for this game. That's it. That strikes him out of Origin altogether.
I think that's ridiculous. I think he should still have some sort of chance. I'm sure there'll be something they can work out, but because I don't think there is.
There has been a huge oversight in him.
They're looking for documentation that can, because he's probably going to have to play the third one. You'll at least be selected for the third one because, you know, of certain injuries and that, and who'll be available.
They can't. That's what I mean. He's not eligible, so they can't.
They've said he claimed he lived in Queensland for 6 months as a 12-year-old with his older brother prior to permanently moving with his family at 13 years and 10 months. So they're trying to find documentation to prove this. That seems a little fishy to me. Anyway, so in all this leading to it, so he didn't play. So then obviously they've fall onto their 15th string. Well, not really, but let's call it that, to Xavier Coates end up playing.
I mean, I feel a little sorry for Xavier Coates, you know, being called in at the 11th hour and, you know, in essentially the 11th hour before he'd apparently just gone through training with the Broncos. And then he gets called into the Queensland side. I think that's extremely unfair on him.
He was like he was there for Brisbane, to be completely honest. Like, if he was in a Sydney team or in North Queensland or Victoria, you know, any other team but Brisbane, you know, it could have been a lot more diabolical. They would have flown.
That's right. Because there was restrictions happening from New South Wales. So that's something. This could have been absolutely diabolical for Queensland. It was anyway, but it just made, I guess, sort of, for me, I think it's both sides. I think it's Queensland Rugby League and the National Rugby League, the NRL, look stupid. How has this happened? There's got to be somebody who is checking these things. And Greeny said at the post-match press conference that all the information that was given to him and given to the QRL, that he was eligible. And now this has happened. And, yeah, by the sounds of it, you know, he put sort of a heartfelt tweet out there and was pretty gutted, as you would be. But to come to this, this should have been squashed on the head years ago before he's represented Queensland at under 18 and under 20s level.
Correct.
And that's an NRL thing. And apparently on your contract, which is another ridiculous thing, on your contract, you have to put down and you have to allocate who you want to play for, who you're eligible to play for, which is, again, just ridiculous that you have to do that. That should be found out by the NRL. You shouldn't have to be no, I want to play for this team or I want to play for that. It's just, you don't get to, it's same old stuff. Look, you don't get to pick and choose who you play for. Yeah. New South Wales and Queensland, state of origin is the pathway to representing the Kangaroos.
At the end of the day, we've both said this. At the end of the day, it's a very simple rule, and there's other caveats, but the very simple rule, if you're born in Queensland, you play for Queensland. If you're born in New South Wales, you play for New South Wales. If you've moved from other states or countries, then that 13-year-old sort of thing kicks into play. Or other caveat of, and I think this was Matt Rogers, I think, had the choice. Where Matt Rogers had the choice of playing for New South Wales or Queensland because his father represented New South Wales.
That's one of the only few
caveats. But again, it's called state of origin for a reason. The first state of origin was littered with Southeast Queensland players and Queensland players. New South Wales had New South Wales players. No different. Artie Beaton's a Queen. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's what we've gone away from, and I'm not
it's the hype around it, and that's the NRL's fault. It's putting all this hype around state of origin and making it the be all end all of rugby league, and we've said it a million times. But to me, there's not as much passion left in it because everyone's just chasing the $30,000 paycheck.
Correct.
Like it's stupid that you can have this much in this country, you can have this much passion for your state, but not this much passion for your country. Because I guarantee you, when the Aussies play at the end of the season in the World Cup, they're not beating on their chest and kissing the coat of arms on the Aussie jersey or anything. There's going to be nowhere near this kind of passion for it. It makes me sick.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you look at the perfect example of what's happening in Euro football at the moment. I know I'm digressing a little bit, but look at the chaotic. There's an England and Germany game this morning. We don't have to say much about England and Germany, but what I'm getting at is just those players want to play for their country. They don't care about like certain little things and of teams and all that. Yes, there's no in between. I understand that, but there is Champions League and all that. They care more about playing for country than Champions League. I guarantee that every single player. So
everybody wants to represent their country. Oh no, not here, not in rugby league. No, nobody gives a shit about that. I just want to play for Queensland and New South Wales.
It's been instilled.
It is, and it's the whole generation of it. Cooper Cronk said it on the Fox League post-game show, and I find it a totally bogus statement for him to come out and say these are the 34 best players in rugby league in the world today. Well, no, they're not. They're just not. So you're telling me that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck isn't any better than some of these guys. You're telling me that Jason Tamalolo is not any better and doesn't deserve to be in this squad. So it's a fake bogus statement. But he's coming out there and he should know better than that to go out there and spruik BS like that. No, that's just not true. This is not the 34 best players in World Rugby League today. It's just not.
No, that's exactly right.
But that's the hype that everyone buys into. Yeah. And you get fair weather fans that you see all over the joint we love State of Origin. State of Origin's awesome. How good is it? Oh, so who's the Queensland captain? I don't know, Cameron Smith. Like, do you know what I mean? They've got no idea, but they all of a sudden when State of Origin comes around for three games, they've got this unbelievable passion for rugby league and their state.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, so the score was 26-0. What can you say? I mean, the first half was, I guess, New South Wales were just electric. I'm trying to think of the words. They were.
Look, Queensland were looking good in the first 15 minutes.
They were looking good. I shouldn't
try that. And then it looked like the plan of we're going to go big and we're going to go hard through the middle and we're going to tackle hard. It looked like it was starting to sort of wear New South Wales down within the first 15 minutes. The first thing that I noted about this game was the first three sets of six that Queensland had, not one hit up by Josh Papali'i. Not one.
Yeah.
He didn't get his hands on the ball for his first hit up until 8 minutes and 22 seconds into the game. You've gone wrong right there. The game is in its infancy. And you've gone wrong right there by not giving it to a guy that you sorely missed in the last game and you don't get him involved. All he's doing is running ridiculous decoy runs. So it took four sets of six for them to get their best go forward man into the game. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah. It.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I don't know. I kind of put it down to McCullough. I don't know if he had that proper go forward for his forwards, you know, sending him forward. I'm not sure. Like, that's how I sort of kind of put it down to. Like, he wasn't bad, but he was a player that didn't, like, he didn't have that spark either. So
the number nine should have been Ben Hunt. Like, I don't care what anybody says. The number nine should have been Ben Hunt.
That. Yeah, that's exactly right. So. And once Queensland, I guess, sort of fell on that back
dropped
foot.
Off.
Well, they did. They really did.
They couldn't keep the intensity up, could they?
And then once, I guess, we sort of, as in New South Wales, pushed the ball to the outsides, it was just... another player I feel sorry for, Kurt Capewell. He played pretty good in the centres, well, really good in the centres in the first game and very good last series. But... He plays for his Penrith Panthers in the second row. He got exposed big time by Djibojevic and Ado Carr. Like it's not his fault.
Both Queensland edges exposed in games one and game two.
That's
Gagai got cooked in the first game. In the second game, Gagai continually got cooked. In this game, and the for me, as much as I didn't want to say it, but it just looked like the more the game was going on, that representative football for Felice Kaufusi and Dane Gagai has passed them by because they looked slow, they looked old, they had no impact, they were getting beat constantly defensively. It just that's just me. That's just what it looked like to me. They just looked like they were not up for it. And I think representative football has passed them by. And not to say that they're still not going to be terrific first graders, but I think representative football, that just for me, for Gagai and Felice Kaufusi, has passed them by.
I think so. Yeah, I really do.
I think that's a really hard question to sort of, you know, to put to those guys, but they just looked so out of touch with what these sort of younger and better guys are doing to them out on the edges, and it was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was absolutely embarrassing. Like, your forwards aren't sort of, or young mobile aren't sort of too bad. I'm trying to sort of flick through and see. Yeah, it's your back line. It's not the six and seven.
It was always the back line that was going to be the problem. It was where are we going to score points? Where's Queensland going to score some points? And it's just a lackluster, a non-threatening really back line. But in two games, the only advantage that the Queensland outside backs or both your wingers. The only advantage they had over New South Wales was their height, and it didn't get exposed. It didn't get used.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Kohlfeld had a couple of chops at some high balls. Xavier Coates had literally none. So that was the go-to, was to try and get Kohlfeld over Brian To'o. I think they got two decent attacking kicks. Up high for Kohlfeld to go,
and he sort of got there a little bit, but
he got the first one he was a little early. If he had timed that jump properly, To'o didn't even jump for it, and he would have absolutely, if he had timed it properly, would have given him a much better chance in catching it and getting to the ground and scoring. He just timed it a little bit wrong. The second one, it just, people got in his way, and it just became a bit of a dog's breakfast, and then. There was a kick through, I think it was by Ben Hunt, where Kohlfeld should have really scored in the second half, but his hands let him down a little bit, Brian To'o basically knocked the ball out of his hands as well and didn't give up on the play. So, but that's in the second half. People are sort of going out there and just ripping the living hell out of Kohlfeld. I thought he made some really hard meters and some really hard hit ups. Trying to get Queensland out of trouble, but the one-on-one strip after a simple sort of bomb by New South Wales and Kohlfeld bringing it back, and the one-on-one strip that Latrell Mitchell had on him, and basically two tackles later, Ado Carr goes in for the first try. It's just like this is going to be one of them nights. It's just going to be one of them nights.
And it was. I mean, the first try was it was pure pace. I mean,
two tackles later, they'd already got the ball to the outside, and Ado Carr just scorches it on the outside. You give him the tiniest little bit of space, and he's gone.
Yeah, he was gone. He was absolutely gone. The second was just a purely nice read by Latrell Mitchell. He always looks like he doesn't have enough pace, but he did. Xavier Coates come into nowhere, but this doesn't look like he's got enough pace.
Another 10 metres and Xavier Coates had him.
Yeah, Xavier Coates had to cover a lot of ground to get to him too.
Oh, yeah.
A huge amount of ground. Latrell sort of still burning a lot of other people, like your gay guys and all that.
Yes,
you get intercept, but, he's not a small man, Latrell Mitchell, so...
Still got plenty of pace, though.
Still had plenty of pace.
See, that play by Queensland as well was not so much a little bit of desperation, but that they know that they had to score next, and their plays were just really clunky inside the New South Wales 20. Like the very first time that they got inside the New South Wales 20, and they die with it on the sixth tackle, like over on the left edge with Kurt Capel. Like it doesn't even get to a kick. Or anything. It was just a total and utter sham. Mm. And then with that play that led to the intercept, you could just see that it was just that sort of sweeping backline move, and the pass just wasn't quite on the money. And Valentine Holmes had to stop a little bit and then sort of shuffle around to try and make the pass out to the flank. And a perfect read by Latrell to pick the pass off and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, what 80,
85
meters.
80, 85 meters. Yeah. To get the second try. the third try was just again the same sort of thing. I think it was more Tom just getting around. I've lost his name already, and he was just getting around Kurt Catewell. Sorry, throwing a nice sort of cutout pass to Ado Carr, who again burning speed out, and then that was just a simple draw and pass sort of play. Then
just Tom simple, right. or just so draw and pass back on the inside, yeah. and Trbojevic goes over.
Yeah, it. I mean, really, there was a lot of go forward. Don't get me wrong, but the 1-5 of ours was just huge. Yeah, I just massive compared to your 1-5. I thought Valentine Holmes. Was going to have a big game in that. He felt like non-existent in this game a little bit. I don't remember seeing a lot of him.
No, a lot of his runs were basically off his own try line. Like, he just didn't really sort of get involved in a lot of the attacking sort of plays. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it was just really, really just – it just wasn't crisp attack by representative – by representative standards, you know what I mean? Like, that's – you know, that sort of play – is a mid-table, you know, first grade side where it's a little bit, you know, a little bit, not so much clunky, but, you know, it's just a little bit slow and the passes aren't quite on the money. And Cameron Munster sort of said at halftime that, yeah, he's out there calling the plays and then that nothing's being executed. So I don't know where the breakdown in communication comes from, whether it's nobody listening or... you know, an interrupted preparation and they're not quite sure about what's, you know, what's happening. I don't know where the breakdown of communication comes from. If Munster's out there calling these plays and they're not happening, what the hell is going on?
Because really, you know, you've got your, this is a little bit, but the side didn't really change much from the winning series side last year, really. There was little bits, don't get me wrong, but there's not much change in your Queensland side from last year's winning series. Not a lot. So I think
a couple of bench forwards, Fotawaker and Molo.
That's what
pretty,
I mean.
That's
so,
pretty much it.
So it just perplexed me on how devastating our team was. Like, maybe it was just the fact that, yeah, like, you know, your Cleary was just, you know, that made it that better. Because ours, I mean, we had a couple of different players, but I think Cleary was the obvious sort of, or again, I just think it was the obvious stand there because last year he didn't really do much last year compared to this year. He stepped up big time, not just for Origin, but for NRL as well in the Panthers.
Nah, well, as the game Triple H would say, he's just that damn good. So, and that's just the way that he's playing at the moment. Like, yeah. He's just playing such sublime football and it just gets accentuated in a representative side because you've got class everywhere. Like, they've got pretty classy players at Penrith at the moment, and boy, are they going to get tested over the next 4 to possible 6 weeks because Nathan Cleary has reeled out of this game with a shoulder injury, and you could see that he was holding it towards the end of the game. He's avoided season-ending shoulder surgery, but he's going to be gone for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So we're gonna see how good old front runner Luai likes being the primary option. how he likes that, you know, with him and Matt Burton. Like, it's still a pretty good combination, but they're gonna rely a whole lot more on front runner Luai to try and get them over the hump as the Penrith Panthers sort of going, oh, give me a break. Front runner. He's like Drake. Front runner.
Yeah, he did like to he had a little bit of a pesty sort of moments in this game with the wave of the finger and a couple of little things. So
he can give it, but he can't take it, and that's pretty clear.
It was a little bit chirpy this game. Tedesco was brilliant in this game. Wasn't so much the run meters, but just 10 tackle breaks is huge. That's a massive amount of tackle breaks.
They couldn't grab him.
Yeah. He just justified his number one. Like, I know we've got two other number ones on there, but he easily justified his number one in that game and probably even the first game as well, really.
But you were never going to unseat him as the number one. The only way that it would have happened would have been injury. Like, that's the only way that he will be unseated as the New South Wales number one and the Australian number one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and... we'll finish off the second half before we talk about Australia, but it was a pretty. After that, it was like any Origin. It was sort of you're still on the edge of the seat sort of stuff, but it was still a bit pretty dour sort of second half, really.
It kind of was. I thought New South Wales sort of took their foot off the gas a little bit.
Yeah.
I think because purely on the fact that they knew Queensland were just no threat. And the longer the game went on, that Queensland didn't score any points was proof of that. And, you know, there was, that's, I mean, we talked about the, you know, a prime opportunity for Kyle Feld, and he gets the ball knocked out by Brian Toole. There's one of the only times that New South Wales are found wanting down the left-hand side, down the left-hand edge, and Xavier Coates basically has a clear run to the line, and he's more of, that's what they're saying, he's more of a right winger, not a left winger, but he puts the ball in his right hand to try and score the try, and Tom Trbojevic comes over and does the smart thing and plays at the arm and knocks the ball out. Like, if Queensland score there, then I think it makes it a little bit easier. They might go, oh wow, they can actually score points. But the more that they just kept repelling Queensland away from their try line every single time they got down into the red zone, inside the 20, it just didn't happen. Like, New South Wales were punishing Queensland's every mistake, and they made plenty. Yeah. But even when, you know, Queensland was sort of getting down into that 20 meter zone, they just weren't throwing enough at them, and it sort of looked a little not so much boring, but just let's just try and bump one over. So they're sending guys like Fotowaker and Molo just to try and do a crash and bash play, just to try and get some momentum, just to try and have a look up on the scoreboard and go, hey, we've got 4 points. Let's believe in this.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do. And New South Wales just squashed every single attacking opportunity that they had.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, really, at the end of the day. I noticed in this game, not that it mattered, I don't think there was any much opportunity, but no one had called a no one called Queensland and no one called Cattle Dog. Yeah, that's exactly it. No one called a challenge at all.
Guess there was no real point. Like I said, once again, it's just there was no, yeah, you know, to use the word correctly, there was no challenge from Queensland, really. So, you know, when the game's on a knife's edge, you try and get the ascendancy by using that captain's challenge. They didn't need to use it. They were just cruising on easy street.
No, that's exactly. They were cruising on easy street. That's exactly right.
Just no kick. Just once, same thing again as game one. Just no kick pressure on Cleary at all. He had so much time to be able to kick that ball and put it exactly where he wanted it to go.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's line speed and that's intensity.
That's exactly right. Yeah, sorry. That's exactly right. Your side. So, I mean, look, the third one is the third one. It's going to be – it's still a game to watch, but it's going to be it's going to be in New South Wales, so that'll be interesting at the start.
This is the worst possible scenario for the NRL, because now a lot of sort of, yeah, I guess, your casual fair weather fans that, you know, supposedly have passion for State of Origin might not tune into this, because the series is already over. And I can't think of when the last time that they actually sold out ANZ Stadium for, you know, whether it was a decider or not. Do you know what I mean? And now that it's already decided, I think this is a bit of a disaster for the NRL. And who's to say that it's even going to be at ANZ Stadium or at whatever they're calling
it now?
That's
true. Now the game is where it is. This is another, like a Townsville, this is another perfect opportunity to send it to a Newcastle or somewhere
Newcastle
like
or
that.
Canberra. Oh, it's got to be Newcastle. Like, it's got to be really Newcastle. Sort of send it away to Canberra. It's got to be. The only choice. The only choice is Newcastle, right?
Considering,
unless, you know, yeah, is everything all cool down in Melbourne? Why not do a bit of a switcheroo and take it down to Melbourne?
Wow. Or
I know they'll want to play in New South Wales. I understand that. They'll want to play in Sydney or somewhere very close to Sydney.
But it depends. That's 2 weeks away. So it depends. Well, it's just over two weeks away. Well, close. No, it is 2 weeks away.
Two weeks away. But, you know, there's lockdown happening here in North Queensland and in certain places in southeast Queensland. You know, New South Wales have just gone through, you know, a fresh bout of a bit of a cluster in, you know, inner city suburbs. And, you know, there's been fines and all sorts of breaches by NRL players that weren't playing State of Origin over this past weekend. So it might come to fruition that it could be the same sort of thing, that it might get moved out of Sydney. I think they have to take that as a real possibility.
I don't think they have a choice. I mean, look what happened in the first one.
Well, that's the thing. They'll just be forced. Their hand will be forced by the government.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to have. That's right. They're going to have no choice. Newcastle seems a perfect place, really.
I think it's the perfect venue for it.
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. I mean, if it's in Townsville again. Well, no, it can't be because of the breakout up there. I mean, it doesn't matter where it is. Anyway, no, we'll digress from that. It was a brilliant win. Raucous crowd. Interesting enough, now they're in lockdown there, you know, but let's have 52,500 people sitting next to each other.
Now, make sure everybody wears their mask into the stadium, but it's not mandatory when you're sitting, you know, 30 centimeters away from the person next to you. You don't have to wear your mask there. Yeah, it's stupid.
Well, going to get food, going to get drinks. Anyway.
Everybody's putting their filthy, grubby hands all over everything.
We don't, I guess, not really. There wasn't really, I mean, I sort of mentioned a stat of the day. We didn't really do it last time, but I mean, Tedesco was just Tedesco in this. He was pretty brilliant. My dud is, it's not so much, well, it was the dud of not letting Renato Mirallito play, but just, I don't know where, I think Fatty is post-game. I don't know if you listened to it, but he was trying to work out answers of where to go. For the New South Wales,
he was gutted afterwards. But yeah, was he mumbling it under his breath, or like a microphone just caught it where he said, "Oh, we may as well not even play the third game."
Bit of both. It was a bit of both. But you know, but
emotion got way too much of the better of him saying that.
On the actual air, he did say, like he said, you know, throw Reece Walsh in. Let's blood some people. You know, it's a third game.
This is the perfect opportunity to do that. Two names that come to mind: Reece Walsh and Sam Walker.
Even he said, Kurt Capewell, you know, should be in the side, but he shouldn't be in that center. You know, do what New South Wales did. You've got two fullbacks, you know, in centers. I know, you know, you might think it works out, but maybe move Valentine Holmes to the center and put Reece Walsh. I mean, I don't know. I'm just.
You could almost go with two new wingers. You could put Brimson and Walsh on the wings and move Val into the centres and maybe move Capewell one more in. There's plenty of things that it's going to have to be some outside the box thinking at the moment. But they just need to put a little bit of the fear of God in New South Wales a little bit, because when you look at that side from top, you know, not so much top to bottom, but you know, the back line where your strike comes from, there's no fear there.
No, there isn't.
Look at
on
each edge, you've got Latrell Mitchell and Tom Trbojevic, and those guys that are marking up against them would be shitting themselves.
It was just put on 360 then, but and it was a question I had. Daly Cherry Evans, is he
done?
In what way?
I don't think he gets selected for game three.
Because I don't think he's the right person to lead Queensland. I think Munster can, but you're right. I think it's worse than that. I think he's been a player that I can't. He's a polarizing player to me for a lot of reasons. For one, he seems to always be in these Origin Australian sides at the most opportune time. And it's not his fault. I'm not saying he's a terrible player, but he's also not a great player either, really, at the end of the day.
He's the original where sort of the term front runner came from, because that's where a lot of people said, you know, when Manly's got the ascendancy and Manly are playing well and Manly are on the front foot, then DCE is great.
He's smiling in this game when he's behind.
All you got to do is go back to the start of this season when they were playing like absolute dirt.
Yeah.
He wasn't enjoying himself. He couldn't dig. Yeah, he couldn't dig his way out of this slump.
Look what he did in this game. He was fiery. He was slapping people. He was like trying to pick a fight with Junior Paulo, which was ridiculous in itself.
Junior Paulo would suck the meat off the bone if he got a hold of his arm. Like,
anyway.
It's like a big chicken wing looking at him.
So he's been a very good opportunity, and he's not a terrible player. He's not a great player, and you're right. I think maybe you throw Sam Walker in there and let's see.
I honestly don't think he gets selected. I think the halves combination will be Walker and Munster.
It would be absolutely mammoth if he doesn't get selected. I'm telling you.
Oh, it'd be huge, and that's the call that the QRL and Green and Paul Green are going to make.
It would be Paul Green is now would be mammoth if that happens. Absolutely mammoth if that happens. It can't hurt. It can't hurt. He'd probably want to be there for pride. I'm sure his name, you know, he'd be probably calling Paul Green every day, just saying, I want to try to win one back for Queensland and all that sort of thing. So
he'll want redemption, but this isn't the time. This isn't the time for redemption now. Like the season, the series is gone.
Yeah,
it's going to be a hollow victory if anything. This is the time to sort of get some of these younger guys, and they're super young. Yeah, but it's just the way that it is at the moment. Like I think you're better off exposing them. Yeah. You're better off exposing them to this sort of thing now, so they know what could be coming up in a couple of years. Do you know what I mean?
We're just in that sweet spot, I mean, six out of, I think there's, no, maybe seven or eight out of our 17 are in that 21 to 25 age. So we're just in that very good sweet spot at the moment. So, and you, like you said, you've got some players on the way out. You've got very, very 18-year-old, very young players. That'll be phenomenal. Sam Walker's a born number seven, looks like leader as well. So he could be a future number seven Australian captain. So
I just think it's way to sort of go at the moment, just to give them the experience, say, here, this is what we expect of you. There's not so much that there's no pressure. There's always pressure in a state of origin, but there's not that melting pot of pressure of, hey, the series is on the line here. You know, just go out there and win us that shield, will you? So, yeah, there's always going to be pressure on them to perform, but they're not going to – I don't think they'll take it too much to heart that, you know, if Queensland get waxed again. So I think it's just a matter – it's not so much the game itself, it's the preparation for the game that you need to have those guys. Look, Caelan Ponga is most likely going to be back for the next game. I think Brimson will be available for selection. It's going
to
be.
I'm fine with. Caelan Ponga really needs that kid needs to rest. I feel like I keep hearing his name all the time, and I keep hearing his name out all the time. That kid needs to rest.
Both Brimson and Ponga have been named this week for the Gold Coast and for Newcastle. So we'll just have to find out how durable they can be.
Well, maybe, because I'm assuming, we'll see how those games play out too with Queensland and New South Wales the way they're going. So
no, that's right. After State of Origin 1, there was a plethora of stars that didn't. So there's the only thing that I've sort of read at this point in time. No, and that's right as well. But at this point in time, all I've sort of read is, for your mob is the possibility that Felice Kaufusi and or Christian Welch may not back up, and then for the Cowboys, all three guys are backing up, and obviously Cohen Hess is playing in the front row, but he didn't get a run, so he was the 18th man.
It's a perplexing pick that he's even in the 18th man, but anyway, that's a
again, they've got no other choice.
Okay. I think it was just a Paul Green special. So,
absolutely. How do you think Francis Molo got in there?
Just because it sort of was the words were sort of floated around post match. Have you got a prospective Queensland World Cup starting team in front of you? Because that's the other thing. It's a World Cup this year.
It's a World Cup in England.
My God.
Yeah, where's the advertising for that?
It's a World Cup. Anyway.
And you haven't heard it. You haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got perspective because I think it's, you know, this will obviously, barring certain injuries, is going to happen during the course of the rest.
No, that's right, and it's always a little bit different to what your state of origin form is, because there's always guys that are playing well at the end of the year that didn't play representative football, blah blah blah. So, I think I've only got four Queenslanders in my team. I know most of our side is fairly close.
I've slowly chopped and changed mine, but we'll talk about that in a second.
I'm pretty stand forward in what I think the Australian side will be, just based off this State of Origin series and who's playing well now. And once again, it's not injuries are going to come into it. There's going to be different players in there. But I heard Joey say it on the broadcast. He's like, "What does the Australian side look like?" And that's the thing that jolted, my brain into action.
Everybody.
To start writing down what an Australian side would look like. So, I think we're fairly set on who our back line would be. So, Tedesco is the fullback. Addo Carr, one wing. And I know you said to me that you've got Dane Gagai on one wing. I've got Brian To'o, but I'm not 100% sure if he wants to represent Australia.
If he doesn't want to
represent Australia, then he's in.
He does, and he's confirmed that he wants to represent Australia. So yes, I've put him in for the pure fact of that reason. I've put him back in.
Over to play for Samoa.
that's still a TBD.
That's
a TBD, so, apparently. That's a TBD. So him playing for Samoa is a TBD. So that'll be conjecture.
He's got no interest in playing for Australia, so he can F right off.
But I put Toto in. I'm assuming our 3 and 4 is pretty straightforward as well. Latrell Mitchell and Tom Dvojevic. I don't think you're going to break that up. 6 and 7, Munster and Cleary.
Pretty obvious it's Munster and Cleary.
Yeah. The front row is where I think where we have a little bit of conjecture, but I had we'll just go with the front rows at the start. So I had Josh Papali. I think it has to be.
Josh Papali at 8. Yep.
And who did you have at 10?
I've got Daniel Saifidi.
Yeah, I had Daniel Saifidi in there, and he was sort of chopping and changing. He could be a bench, but I had to put him in there because I think he was very consistent in this series.
Yeah, absolutely. Very consistent. And he's been great for Newcastle this year.
Been very good for Newcastle. What about your number 9's Damien Cook? I don't think that's going to change. I think that's pretty straightforward.
I don't think so. Other one. No, I think that's the best choice that Australia would have at this point in time, as your dummy half. Like, maybe. If he falls off the map and maybe Harry Grant at the end of the year, I think
Harry Grant will possibly be one of those 18th, 19th because it's a World Cup.
Oh, he'll be absolute cover. And so that's why I think, as we go on, I think there's going to be another one that'll be cover who is a Queenslander. But I think that's a pretty strong sort of front row.
Yeah.
So second row is for me is Cameron Murray and Tarek Sims.
I don't have Tarek Sims.
I think spot on the money there. I don't know where this Tarek Sims has come from. Where has Tarek Sims come from? He is uber aggressive.
Yeah.
He's always been an uber aggressive player. He has been, but he gets lost lost when he plays for the Big Red V.
He's been a very good ball player this series. I have him on the bench. I just don't have him. I just don't know. As a start.
I think you've got to start him.
I tossed up. I still, when you sort of mentioned him, I went, okay, I kind of need him in my squad, and that was Jai Arrow.
Well, I've got Jai Arrow at lock.
Yes, I think Isaiah Yao has been unbelievable for Penrith and again for New South Wales. I think
I've got him. I've got him on the bench. So
So there's sort of that, 12. It's always the hard
there.
One.
Like, he's there. Don't get me wrong. He's there.
It's funny that 12, 13 bench player. Cameron Murray were both sort of right on the money for. He was again, consistent in this series. Absolutely. The bench is a sort of a hard one. So, we've both had...
I thought it was pretty easy, but
go ahead.
Well, so the two... I've got Zayo on the bench as your second rower, and your two props... Your two props for me on the bench is Payne Huss and Mo Fotowaker.
Interesting. If we're going on pure form, that was my toss up was Mo Fotowaker or Fifita.
Fifita was in terrific form at the start of the year. He is in awful impact form at the moment. Fotowaker is playing so much better at the moment.
I think and he'll be somewhere in that squad. I just think I just feel like they'll just pick my Daniel Fifita purely just on David Fifita basis. And I think it'll be
unless he comes into some sort of terrific form at the end of the year, which he hasn't shown in the last couple of weeks. Doesn't deserve selection.
Don't forget who the coach is, and don't forget where their coach is based. So
no, that's right. It's here. We know it's Mel. That's right. We know it's Mel Meninga.
Is Mo Fotowaker, again, New Zealand player? He hasn't played for New Zealand yet either. So he's only 21. He hasn't played for New Zealand. So okay. Who did you? Yeah, share those as your two front rowers. What were the other two positions?
No, that's what I mean. So I got Zayo as your bench second rower, and my utility player is 100% Ben Hunt. Just to provide versatility.
I think it has to be.
So many positions.
I think it has to be. You could even toss in, depending on if he's going to be right at the end of the series, you could toss in Kalen Ponga, possibly.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well. That would give them some real strike off the bench. But then it's versatility. Like, yes, he could go in there and do, a solid job. In that dummy half role, but it just means that I don't really like that sort of choice. I'd rather have somebody like Ben Hunt. You see, he's done it before. He can play the six, play the seven, play the nine. I think that's a little bit more important than having somebody who's a fullback. But when given that first or second receiver role, doesn't really shine a whole lot. Like we've seen it with Newcastle before when Nathan Brown was coaching there, and he tried to basically, I think he bought into the fact that Kalen Ponga said, yeah, I can play six, I can do that. And when they put him, in the six jumper, it didn't look good. Like he needs more time. He's a natural fullback. Like he's got that elusive.
I think so. Footwork. I think so.
When he bobs up, unexpectedly, like that's the point of it. Not just in a structured play where you're giving him the opportunity and the opposition the opportunity to see him front on. Whereas if he's playing at fullback, playing in that sort of roving role, then he can pop up wherever he wants, and that's a very dangerous Kalen Ponga.
You don't have, there's other players depending on injuries and everything like that. Like I have a sprinkling of these other players that are just outside, but they'll probably name about 25, 26 players anyway.
Oh, they'll name a decent squad. The one that's missing is Jake Trbojevic.
Yeah, that was the first name.
I think he'll be in and around there, I guess, maybe the likes of Angus Crichton.
Right. Yeah.
I think we'll be in the squad.
I just said just in the ins and the outs, and depending on these two injuries, they might be hovering around there towards the end of the year. And that's Ryan Papenhuyzen and Victor Radley.
They're not
hard
to
rule out. So again, it's you name like I think you name a decent 25, 29, 30.
I would be more inclined to put Papenhuyzen at that utility role more than Kalen Ponga.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Ben Hunt can clearly cover a lot more spots. Clearly.
No, that's right. But see, he's got the nous of a dummy half. So if you're going to take Damien Cook off for a bit of a rest and you put Ben Hunt in there, then he's got the eyes up sort of football that he can. He's done it before for his country and his state. That he's played that dummy half role. He knows what to look for. Whereas Kalyn Ponga is a little bit more instinctive, and he might make some mistakes in trying to sort of force the issue about running out of dummy half. And you also have Kalyn Ponga defending in the middle, you know, next to your front rowers, who is an easy target for other big men to run at.
Yeah, no, look, and I just think he'll be hovering around there. There's so many number ones at the moment. It's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, that's right. But yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Like it's still a massive squad. I wouldn't discount we could talk about this towards the end of the year, or probably postseason when the World Cup sort of kicks up. But I wouldn't discount this. New Zealand's got a very, very strong side. They could probably, you know, take a couple of these certain players and things like that. So I wouldn't discount them at all, New Zealand. Same as England, but I think New Zealand will want to get that sort of revenge, and they've got there's a lot of young players of theirs, or young players that are sort of coming through. You know, well, you can go through the Penrith side and sort of pick something out. Melbourne side.
No, that's right. And then you're going to, that's what I mean. There's going to be those instances where, you look through sides that are coming into the pointy end of the season, and, you know, that there's going to be, not so much shocks, but do you know what I mean? It's going to be, players that are playing well at the end of the season.
That's even by then if it's going to be over there as well. It is, but it depends if a lot can change this day and age up until October, November because of, COVID. There's not much else to say about it, but it's true. So
going by the countdown I've just seen on the Rugby League World Cup, 114 more days. So until we get ourselves. And the opening game is on Saturday, October 23.
I believe at Leeds, isn't it?
At St. James's Park in Newcastle. So that's a big stadium.
That's a massive stadium. England, that's England 60 and Samoa. Plus.
Sorry?
Samoa versus who?
Samoa and England is the first game. And then the nightcap that night is Australia and Fiji in Hull.
That's there you go. That now, just because they're playing Samoa, I am 99% certain that Luai will definitely play for Samoa. I'm telling you right now, he will definitely play. Just purely because of that, as that's the first game.
New Zealand kick off their campaign with an extremely tough matchup against Lebanon. At the Halliwell Jones Stadium there in Warrington. So. There's going to be some ordinary games, but the World Cup is awesome. Like you have a look at the last one, how well the island nations did, how well Samoa did, how well Tonga did. Do you know what I mean? Like it's this whole fiasco of tier one nations, tier two nations. It's ridiculous. Scrap the lot of it.
No, I understand. I mean, I understand that, but there's certain ones you'd have to sort of put in certain tiers. Purely just, Cook Island as an example.
There's the obvious ones.
Cook Island.
It doesn't need a tier system. It doesn't need it.
No, it doesn't need it. Have you seen that? Have you looked at? Well, just because we're finishing up on it, have you seen the group sort of breakup of all the. All the groups there. It's interesting.
There's definitely some interesting teams that are making it. Jamaica have made it.
That group D will be kind of fun to see who comes through in that. If Papua New Guinea comes through, Wales always is in there. So you got Tonga, obviously, but that group D will be fun. I don't know. It's just I look at that, I just go, it's like anything. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Group C is a bit of a cakewalk for New Zealand, but and the Aussies will have, the Aussies have got Fiji, Scotland, and Italy. So that's not to say that it'll be a cakewalk, but they'll get challenged by Fiji. And look, even Group A,
it's like
England, Samoa, France, and Greece.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Greece aside.
Wow.
Like, you know, England, Samoa, and France. I think that's a competitive group as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's funny, and then if you sort of scroll down, the qualification process of all these teams and how they sort of qualified through is very interesting. And Jamaica qualified through.
That was unreal.
Yeah, they went straight through, and then there was a World Cup playoff for US and the Cook Islands. So US aren't there at all. Cook Islands, that's awesome.
No, that's right.
And like you said, there's certain tiers that are going to be in there. Like your three big ones will always be in there. Always. Oh, it just clicked over 114 days, 13 hours. Oh, I love it.
The countdown is on.
That's what I've been looking for. I've been scrolling through. It's a very nice website. I'll be completely honest. It's very friendly.
It's well done.
It is. It's very well done. Oh, they got some good sponsors too. I was just trying to find out where the final was. That's in Old Trafford.
And to say that, yeah, you wouldn't think it'd be at somewhere like Wembley or anything like that. Like Old Trafford, I think, is sort of the league spiritual home. Do you know what I mean? Of rugby league, you know, especially when it comes to sort of representative football. Like, as you know, you don't hear of too many, you know, Australia versus England, old test matches at Wembley. Like, you know, you get rugby union at Wembley, but you don't tend to get rugby league. It's Old Trafford. It's a 2.5 meter in goal. It's the dip off as you get to the end, and they're going to need some serious padding on those advertising boards.
Yes, they will, but they'll be fast grounds.
They're always fast slick grounds in England.
Yeah, well, that'll do it this week for the NRL State of Origin / Australia
World Cup preview.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, that's just that we get excited about it, we keep mentioning it, hopefully everyone else gets excited about it. So
it's not so much that it's worth noting. Like, I think more needs to be done to promote this.
It's our pinnacle. I don't care what people say. It's our pinnacle. Yeah. No, but that's what I'm trying to say.
It's the pinnacle of rugby league. But the pinnacle of any sport is to represent your country.
That's exactly right. So it's our pinnacle.
To represent two states in the country.
Not our pinnacle. It's.
You don't see Paddy Mills and Ben Simmons and you know Jock Lonsdale and guys like that I want to play for Queensland. I want to play for the Boomers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You want to play for the Boomers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Ooh, Jason Robertson helped. I'm just trying to work out how Jamaica got in. Just before we finish, Jason Robertson was a big help. Remember the dual international. Jason Robinson,
he
played for England Rugby League and dual code international. We play Rugby League and Rugby Union. So there you go. That's going to be an interesting team to see in there. But, you know, they look like Papua New Guinea. They just got some massive boppers.
Yeah, I'll bet they do.
As always, don't forget our socials, Twitter at Final Play Pod. Facebook, as always, Final Play Podcast, where you'll see all our links. To where you can get our podcast as well as gimco.com.au. Shout out to Dom, and Mojo King, who look after Eureka Sports Cards.
Mojo King is a serious insomniac at the moment with the Euros going on.
Yeah. He is loving it. I do love football. It has fallen by the wayside. There's too many other sports for me going on at the moment, especially the NBA playoffs and all that. So you can only put so much in and stay up at so many times.
That's right. Yeah, it's just that absolute wrong time of day for us to sort of be able to watch it live. But you know, in the age of streaming and multiple on demand services, then you know everybody can still get their fix. Unless you like to gamble on that, then you basically get those results instantly, whether they're a bonus in your balance or not so much bonus in your balance.
So does that mean you've been betting on that?
Not on the Euros, no, but there's by the looks of it, on a couple of pages that I'm on Facebook, there's some amateurs out there. Good God. They're either amateurs or they are just proper trolls.
It'd be interesting to take some flyers by the looks of it, the way those Euros are going. Some flyers and some...
They're at the quarterfinals now, yeah.
So,
I think I heard today on ESPN that that England are the betting favourites at the moment.
Oh my God! Yeah, no, that's I know it's in England, but we all know how England are, so that's not going to happen.
Well, that's right. Yeah, they haven't won a World Cup since the '60s. I don't know when the last time they won the Euros. Cup.
Yeah. So, well, they did beat Germany. They knocked Germany to get there. So there you go.
Look, they've got to do it sooner or later, right? Like they've got to do it sooner or later.
In saying that, they've got a remarkable team. They've got a very, very, very young team.
They always
do. Yeah, I know. I think just this year they do. But I'm sick of, just to finish on, which, and this is how I was going to end my name. My name's Jason. I'm sick of, when I'm looking for this, I'm sick of looking at finding when it's Euro 21, when it's actually Euro 2020, because they had to postpone it. So they are calling this Euro 2020. God damn, I'm sick of it. like it just comes up now, but God damn. So,
you just got to be Googling the right things. Like, you know, I'm sure when you click on your sports bet app that it pops up as Euro 2020. So, you know, there's no need to worry about that.
I don't remember the last time I clicked on sports bet. So, anyway, that's a different.
I guess I'll sign up as well. I know you're lying that you clicked on the sports bet app not long ago, Plum.
You don't know? Oh my God! No, that's a lie. I clicked on 5 minutes ago.
yeah, don't worry. I know you did.
Oh, I'm telling
you. I haven't been on the Neds app in at least 4 hours.
Oh, they got a pretty good England. Oh, I might put some money on them. All right, have a good weekend.
Oh, there you go. Straight up, there he is. There he is. Straight up, Gamble Master 5000. Straight there. Ooh, look at that.
Have a good week, everyone. See ya.
Enjoy your footy back this weekend. See ya.